Thank y'all for letting me be here today and give my testimony. I struggle with it a little bit because sometimes it's hard to talk about, so just bear with me. But my name is Micah Claire Shelton. I'm from Pisgah. I was raised in church my whole life. I got saved on June 5th, 2005, and was baptized shortly after that. For most of my life, I've been healthy. I grew up playing all sorts of sports, and I thought I had my life figured out. And in 10th grade, I decided that I wanted to be a radiologist tech, and so I started taking college classes then. And then this past summer, I applied for Gadsden State's radiology program, and I didn't get in. And I really started questioning God, like, why? Like, this has been my life plan for so long. Why is it not working out? And I just really didn't understand. And so leading up to all this happening, I just felt really distant from God. And I felt like I would never get back being close with Him, and I struggled with that. And I felt like when I prayed, it just would not go higher than the roof. And I would read my Bible, I would pray, I would do all of this, and I just felt like I wasn't getting anywhere with it. So I started a little prayer journal, and every night I would write down a different prayer. But recently I had been writing down I wanted God to use me so that others would see Him in me and that I could talk about Him, thinking that would bring me closer to Him. And when all this started happening, you know, it's hard not to question God why when something bad happens in your life, but I couldn't question why because I knew why. I had been asking for it. And so Thursday was when it all started, and it was a normal day. I had went to work. I was at home watching TV with my mom, and all of a sudden the left side of my face went completely numb. And then that was weird, but then it felt like ants were biting all over my face, and it just hurt. Well, my parents started getting concerned, and they were like, Micah, what's going on? And I really couldn't say nothing. Like, it was just like no words were coming out of me. And it was just really scary. But then it started getting better, and it went away. And I told my parents what was going on. And at the time, we thought it was just because I thought I had a pulled muscle in my neck, and, you know, all sorts of weird stuff was going on. But it turns out, when later we found out that I actually had the first seizure. But that night, we didn't know that, so we thought it was a pulled muscle and just decided that I would go to the doctor the next morning and that I was fine. So Friday morning, I woke up, and me and my mom went to the doctor. And I felt fine that day. I mean, I felt like nothing was wrong with me. But the doctor was like, well, let's just do an MRI on your head just in case, because I don't want to, you know, not do it and something happen. So I got my MRI at 12:15, and I was home by 1:30. And then at 1:47, my life changed forever. Dr. Reichel had called my mom, and at the time they thought it was a bleed on my right temporal lobe of my brain. And so he called and was like, it's just small. We're sending her to Huntsville. She might be there for a few days to meet a neurosurgeon. Don't freak out. But, of course, when mom told me, I was freaking out. And it was just a range of emotions, really, because I was scared. And then, of course, I was thinking the worst possible case scenario. And we get to the ER in Huntsville, and they took me immediately back. And the ER wait at the moment was 4 hours. So we get back in the ER, and they did a CT scan. And after my CT scan, the ER doctor came in, and he kind of just explained everything that was going on. And he was like, you can either stay the night and get more tests ran tomorrow and meet with the neurosurgeon tomorrow, or you can just come back next week and do it all over again. And I was like, well, I got to work next week, and I got school next week, so I'm just going to stay the night and get it over with. So at this point, we were thinking that it really wasn't that big of a deal. I was just going to get some tests ran that Saturday and go home. So I got in my room that night around 9, and we thought everything was fine. You know, we were all good. And then at 10:30, my neurosurgeon came in my room, and that was the first time that surgery was mentioned to us. And it really did scare us because we had no idea. And he explained that Saturday morning I was going to have an MRI and an angiogram, and then we would go from there. So So that next morning, he came in and was like, okay, they're about to take you back and get your test done. And I was honestly more nervous about the angiogram than I was the brain surgery because I was going to have to be awake for that. But after I got my first MRI, they came up to my room and they were like, we're just going to do another MRI because it's too high risk of you having a stroke for the angiogram. So they get my other MRI ran, and then my doctor came in and he was like, look, I have two options for you. And the first option was not having surgery, but I was going to have to be heavily medicated for the rest of my life. And I'm 19 years old, so that I just did not want to live that kind of life. I was going to have to live a stress-free life, which is totally impossible. And basically, it was just going to be a ticking time bomb of when I would have another seizure or when it would rupture and I would die. So that was really my first option. And then my second option was to have the surgery and then just move on with my life. And I didn't want to live my life in constant fear of when a 2-centimeter cavernoma would kill me. So I instantly knew that I wanted to do the surgery. And after we decided the surgery, he was like, it's going to be Sunday morning. And he left. And so that was that. And the rest of the day, my room was filled with people that I love and people that love me. And I was really at peace with all of it. Everyone else around me was kind of upset, but I just had total peace about it. I was a little upset at times, but it really wasn't being upset more about the surgery than being more upset about waking up and being in pain. And during this time, one Bible verse really stuck out to me, and it says, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, and it's Psalm 61:2. And so Saturday was a long day for my family, and that night they gave me some medicine to help me sleep. And then on Sunday morning, I woke up with such peace. I was ready to face what was ahead of me. And when you're in pre-op, they ask you a lot of questions about death and a lot of questions that no 19-year-old should ever have to answer. And it really makes you think, like, what if about death? But I was strangely content with it, which is really rare for me because I cried my eyes out before I got my wisdom teeth surgery. But I really wasn't afraid of dying as much as I was of waking up from surgery. Because in my head, I was thinking, if I die, I'm going to wake up in a better place with no worries. But if I was to wake up, I'm waking up into a world of unknown. Because brain surgery is so weird. You don't know how you're going to react from it. And so I was really ready to die that day. But I didn't. So thank God for that. In total, my surgery was 5 hours long. And in that 5 hours, I really had an experience like I've never had before. It felt like I was awake, but I wasn't. It was a dream, but I knew everything that was going on, but it was like nobody else was in the room. And I could hear God talking to me. And me and God just had a good talk during all that. And in that, he really reassured me, like, I've heard all of your prayers, whether it feels like I haven't or not. And he reassured me that I was going to be okay. And he told me to promise him that I was going to use this for the better and go tell people about him because that's what I had prayed for so long. And so anytime I have the chance to tell people about what he's done for me, I'm going to tell him. And another Bible verse stuck out to me through that, and it says, daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith has made thee whole, Matthew 9:22. And after the surgery, I woke up in ICU, and it was really a blur because it's like I'm awake, I'm asleep, I'm awake, I'm asleep, but I was on so much medicine, I really didn't know what was going on. And while I was in ICU, I had this dream, and it felt so real, but I just thought it was a weird dream. And in that dream, it was like I was in this field, and I was with my brother. And at the time, I'm an only child, so I don't have a brother, I don't have a sister, nothing. But it was like I knew he was my brother. And so after I got home from surgery and stuff, I really got to thinking about that dream because it just felt so real. But I just never asked my parents about it because I was like, no, they're just going to think I'm crazy. Well, we were eating with some of our friends one night, and we got to talking about miscarriages and stuff like that, and my mom got to talking about one that she had. And, I mean, I knew she had had a miscarriage, but I didn't know, like, the extension of the miscarriage. Like, it was a fully developed baby. And so, she said that, and I was like, Mom, I had a dream that I had a brother. And she just didn't say anything else to me for the rest of the night. So I was like, maybe it was just a really weird dream. And so the night after that, me, Mom, and Dad were all sitting in the living room. And my mom was like telling me that she had had a, you know, she explained everything to me. And she was like, when you said that, it just blew my mind because the whole time that we were pregnant, we just knew that it was a boy. And I didn't even know that they had a name picked out or nothing. And in the dream, I knew his name. And I couldn't remember it, but I knew it started with an M. And so Mom was like, we had him named and everything. So I was like, did it start with an M? And she was like, yeah, it was Matthew. And so that just reconfirmed everything for me. Like, God really was with me during this surgery. And he really did give me a testimony to go tell people about. And that just really blessed me whenever I found that out. And it gives me chills thinking about it because you hear people talk about crazy stuff like that happening, but you never really experience it. And that has just brought me so much closer to God because of it. And it's just a blessing. And then the recovery from all this, it really hasn't been easy. But I try to make it easy for myself. There's been confusion. There's been heartache, sadness. Some days I really do struggle more than other days. And all of it happened in the matter of 3 days. So I really never got to feel the emotions of hurt and sadness and all that. And so some days I'll just be sitting at home and I'll just start crying because of it. But, and then when I had to shave all my hair off, that was the hardest day of my life. I had really long hair before all of this. And when I had my surgery, they had to shave this whole half of my hair off. And my hair was really thick and really long. So they had it up in a ponytail right here, and it was giving me terrible headaches. So I was like, look, let's just shave it off. I don't want it to grow back uneven. I don't want to go through the troubles of headaches. So the week after I had my surgery, we went and we got my hair shaved off. And I really struggled with that at first more than anything because I would just look in the mirror and it's not even like you're looking at yourself. It's just totally strange. And it's like you know it's you, but it looks nothing like you. And you put on outfits that you used to wear all the time, and you're just like, this looks terrible on me now. I look like a little boy or, you know, something like that. And so I've really had to deal with that a lot. But I'm getting better at it. So, and my hair's growing back, so that's good. And before I had the surgery, I really feared death. Like, that was my biggest fear. I just didn't want to die. I was terrified of what it would feel like, what it would be like. And so, and it was like every time I prayed about it, I would just get more scared. And it was like every time I heard a preacher preach, like, oh, you're going to die, or oh, Jesus is coming back, it just terrified me. But now it's like I'm not scared about that anymore. Like, if I was to drop dead right now, I would be okay with that. And I was very, like, anxious and fearful of just everything. I was just a very anxious person before all of this. And then a week or two ago, after all of this happened, everything was finally starting to look up in my life. Like, everything was getting easier. Everything was getting better. And me and my parents were coming home from Scottsboro, and a lady crossed into our lane, and we had a car accident. And, you know, it shook all of us up, and we're all okay, thank goodness. But when that happened, it just really broke my heart because I was like, God, what am I doing wrong? Like, you brought me through this brain surgery. I've been telling people about you. You know, I've been so much closer to you. Why does these bad things keep happening in my life? And it was just hard. And it was just like every time I would lay down at night, I could just replay the wreck in my head and everything that I saw. And it was just terrible, but it's just like an add-on to my testimony. Like, he brought me through this, and then something else happened. I got through it. He brought me through this. And there's this phrase, or the phrase, do not be afraid, is written in the Bible 365 times. And that is a daily reminder from God to live every day fearlessly. And sometimes the storm of your life begins right before your eyes, and there is absolutely no stopping it. And just like the men on the ship with Jesus, the storm arose out of nowhere, and they were terrified. They questioned God, and they even questioned their faith in him. He arose when he heard their cries, and he said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? And he calmed the storm. Just like that instance, Jesus will calm the storms in our lives. And sometimes the storm seems so big, and it seems like we are in an unending ocean of crashing waves. But we have to remember that God is in the midst, testing our faith and waiting to calm the storms. God's plan for us is much bigger than we could ever imagine. And sometimes we may not understand it, and we may even question why. But sometimes it's not meant for us to understand. God gives us mountains to show others that they can be moved. And he will completely break us down to our lowest point to show others that he can build us back up. And that is my testimony, and that's what God has brought me through. And I just hope that through what I've went through, nobody else has to go through the same thing, and it can help their relationship with God grow. Because I would hope nobody would ever have to go through anything like that. It wasn't fun, but it has definitely brought me so much closer to God, and I'm completely thankful for that.